Okay, good morning, everyone. So today's daf is daf chaf. I just briefly want to review, because yesterday we ran a little bit short on time, so I just want to finish up something, and it's actually going to relate slightly to what we're going to deal with today on daf chaf. So just if you recall, yesterday we were dealing basically with the three-way machlokas between the Tanakama, Reb Shimon, and Reb Akiva about when the sota drinks relative to the Karban Mincha. So the Tanakama held that you drink first, because the first of three times that it says v'hishka, that she drinks the mei marim, was before the Karban Mincha. And the Tanakama uses the other two times that it says it to learn out the other limudim that aren't really relevant to their placement. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, both of them learn out from the middle reference to v'hishka to learn the halacha that the scroll has to be fully dissolved and the ink has to come off. But Rabbi Shimon also uses it to tell us the ikar halacha that she has to drink the meimarim, because at least one of those psukim need to come to tell us that she drinks the meimarim. So therefore, because Rabbi Shimon uses the middle pasuk for both, he has the first and third pasuk available for drasha. Rabbi Akiva uses the middle one to say that it has to be fully dissolved. He uses the third pasuk to say that the ikar halacha, that she has to drink the meimarim. So we're left with Rabbi Shimon having the first and third pasuk available. Thank you, Saeed. The first and third pasuk available, and Rabbi Akiva really has the first pasuk available. So Rabbi Akiva learns from that first pasuk that the idea that if the waters have already been dissolved, that we force her to drink it, because once the Shem Hashem has been nimchak, we force her to drink it. Rabbi Shimon learns that same halacha, but he learns it from the third pasuk. And what does he do with the first pasuk? He learns the halacha we already discussed, the idea that if b'di'eved she drinks it before the Karban Mincha, then it still works. Even though she should wait until after the Karban Mincha, it still works. So what's interesting about this is you'll see two halachas, and this is the basic machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon has the extra limud, and with it he learns the idea that b'di'eved you're yotzei if you do it before. Rabbi Akiva does not have that limud, and therefore that's the first difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon, is the question of if you went ahead and drank before the Karban Mincha, are you yotzei b'di'eved? Because they both say you should wait. Are you yotzei b'di'eved? Rabbi Shimon says yes, and Rabbi Akiva says no. So then each of them uses the remaining limud, the remaining reference to drinking, to tell you that if the scroll was already dissolved, that you would drink it, that we would force her to drink it. But there's a big distinction whether you learn it from the first pasuk like Rabbi Akiva does, or you learn it from the third pasuk like Rabbi Shimon does. What's the distinction? Because remember, the middle psukim are the ones that talk about the Karban Mincha. So Rabbi Shimon, who learns it out from the third pasuk, which comes after the Karban Mincha, so according to Rabbi Shimon, that's telling you that when is it that if the scroll is dissolved already, we force it to drink it, is only if it's after the Karban Mincha. But if the Kohen would go ahead and do the wrong thing and dissolve, because we generally try to keep the dissolving the scroll until the last minute that we need to, because we don't want Shem Hashem to be Nimchak. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, since you learn now from the third pasuk, which happens after the Karban Mincha, it tells you that if the Kohen does the wrong thing and dissolves it before the Karban Mincha, and then she says, I don't want to drink anymore, that we don't force her to drink, because the Kohen did the wrong thing, and we only learn it out after the Karban Mincha is finished, that if the scroll is dissolved, she can be forced to drink it. Whereas Rabbi Akiva learned it from the first pasuk. The first time it says v'hishka, which is in pasuk chav dalid. What that's telling you is that if the scroll has been dissolved, even before the Karban Mincha, because the Karban Mincha pasuk comes later, that therefore she's forced to drink it. So we're left, the first machlokas is what happens if you b'di'eved drink it before. Rabbi Shimon says it's good, and Rabbi Akiva says it's not good. And then they both hold that we can force her to drink, but Rabbi Shimon says only if it's after the Karban Mincha, and Rabbi Akiva says even if it is before the Karban Mincha. So that's the basic machlokas with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so we left off at the Gemara was asking a question separately in Rabbi Akiva, which was, does Rabbi Akiva force the woman to drink? But we see in another instance where he says, the fact that she says, I don't want to drink, is itself basically an admission. So he says the entire purpose of drinking the water is to see whether she should be whether she should be tamei to her husband. When she says, I don't want to drink, we make her tamei to her husband. So what's the point in forcing her to drink? And the Gemara gives an answer, and that's it'll be relevant to the Gemara we learned today. The Gemara gives an answer that there's a distinction whether she stated it matter-of-factly, like she was sitting there and said, I don't want to drink, and she didn't appear nervous. In that fashion, we consider that similar to if she says, I'm tamei, that she actually did it. And he's saying Rabbi Akiva would hold in that case that that no matter when she says, I don't want to drink, we don't force her to drink because we see that as an admission. Whereas if she appears nervous, so what we say, Rashi explains in greater detail, he says she's saying, really, I'm going to drink because I trust that I know that I wasn't Mizana. But then she says to herself, how do I know the waters really work? I saw my friend get blown up. Maybe I'll get blown up. So then she goes back and forth. So if we see she's nervous, so we don't take that as an absolute admission. And therefore, we get into the question of, is it before or after the scroll is nimchak? Because if it's before, we let her stop, because why not? And that way we don't have to be erase the Shem Hashem. But if it is after, then already we force her to drink. So we'll pick up there, seeing that inside, which is four lines from the bottom. Okay, v'hachi kamar, and this is what it's saying. Kol machmas briyuso, whenever she does it in good health, meaning like in a matter-of-fact way, she's not nervous, klal klo lo shasya, that we never make her drink, because that's basically equivalent to an admission. And as we'll see in the Mishnah on Daf Chaf, an admission stops the process no matter when it happens, whether it's before or after the scroll has been dissolved in the water. So if it's matter of fact, then she stops the process anytime she does it. Machmas resisa, but if she's nervous, and you see she's nervous, so then it's a distinction. Achlo karva komets, if it's before the Karban Mincha has been brought, and in fact, it, more than the Karban Mincha, really means that the Karban Mincha and the waters have been dissolved, akati lo emchak Megillah, that you haven't yet dissolved the Megillah, inami emchak Megillah deshelo kedin aver kohanim, demachki, I'm sorry, so, or alternatively, either they haven't, because the Karban Mincha hasn't been brought yet, therefore they have not dissolved the Megillah. Alternatively, they went ahead and dissolved the Megillah wrongly. So in either of those cases, Mati Hadrabe, she can say, I don't want to drink, and she can be chozer from the idea that she was going to drink, and we don't force her to drink. Mishikarva Komets, once the Karban Mincha is brought, and the waters have been dissolved, the Bedin Ovid, the scroll has been dissolved, the Bedin Ovid Kohanim Demechki, and the Kohanim did the right thing by dissolving the water at this time, because this is the time to dissolve the scroll. First you bring the Karban Mincha, then you dissolve the scroll. So then, Lo Matzah Hadraba, then she cannot be Chozer. Now, what we see here is, and this is partially why we needed the introduction, before Rabbi Akiva was the one who learned out that you force her from the first Pasuk, and therefore it means, because you force her from the first Pasuk, it means whether the Kohanim dissolved the scroll at the wrong time or the right time, you still force her to drink. But now we're seeing in Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva is saying it depends. If it was before the Karban Mincha, and therefore they haven't dissolved the scroll, or the Kohanim dissolved it wrongly, so then she can be chozer. You don't force her to drink. Only if they did it at the right time, which is after the Komets, then we force her to drink. So we see here a stira in Rabbi Akiva, because originally we said that Rabbi Akiva said you force her to drink any time the scroll is dissolved, and now Rabbi Akiva is saying you only force her to drink if the Kohanim dissolved it at the right time. If they dissolved it at the wrong time, you would not force her to drink. So the Gemara on the top of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph says Kasha de Rabbi Akiva de Rabbi Akiva. You have a kasha between these two versions of Rabbi Akiva about whether you force her to drink when the Kohanim did it at the wrong time. So we say, so what's the stira? Hasam amr mechika ma'akva. There, at the top of Yotasam and Beis, we said that the relevant inquiry is whether the scroll has been dissolved, whether it was done rightly or wrongly. V'hacha omer kometz ma'akiv. And here we're saying that no, it needs to have the Karban Mincha done. If the Kohanim did it at the wrong time, you wouldn't force her to drink. So it's a stira. So the Gemara answers, trei tanoi v'alibet Rabbi Akiva. That there are two Tanayim according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to the second Tana we bring, that Rabbi Akiva would only force her to drink if in fact the Kohanim dissolved it at the wrong time, at the right time. But if they dissolved it at the wrong time, we would not force her to drink. So we're left with two versions of Rabbi Akiva's halacha. Okay, The Gemara continues, Ibai Lahu. The Machlokas Rishonim had to understand this. We'll go with Rashi. Rashi understands that this is a question specific to Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because on Yotes Amud Beis we had a Machlokas where we brought the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda described this implement that they used to stick in her mouth to pry open her mouth and pour it in, and said that once the scroll's been dissolved, we force her to drink. And Rabbi Akiva responded to that why would we force her to drink? The fact that she's refusing to drink it shows that she's guilty, right? So what we see from there is that Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that we might not allow her to drink. The Tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda, seems to be saying we would always allow her to drink, and so we'll see now how that relates to the Gemara's question. Ibailu, the Gemara asks, Amra eini shosa machmas briyusa. She says, I'm not going to drink, I don't want to drink, and she's certain about it. She's very matter-of-fact, she doesn't appear nervous at all. So we learned the halacha that when she does that, according to Rabbi Akiva, that we would not let her drink, because we would not force her, because that's equivalent to an admission. But then what happens, after she's very matter-of-fact and says she's going to drink, but chazer of amra shosani. Then she changes her mind and says, I am going to drink. So we were dealing previously with the case where she said, I'm not going to drink. She said, I am going to drink, and then she said, I'm not. We're now asking the reverse. What happens if she says, matter of fact, I'm not going to drink, which we generally understand to be an admission, according to Rabbi Akiva, and then she comes back and says, no, wait, I do want to drink, because I don't think that I am usher and tameh. So mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say, kivan da'amri eina shosa, that since she said, I'm not going to drink, Tameya Nika Amra, that's equivalent of saying that I am Tomei. And Mekivan da Achzik Nafsha Betuma, since she established herself as being Betuma by saying I don't want to drink, which is the equivalent of admitting that she acted inappropriately, Lo Matzia Hadraba, and therefore she cannot be Chozer, she cannot go back and say, now I do want to drink. Odilma, or maybe Kivan da Amra Shosani, since she now says, I wanted to drink, even though before she said, I don't want to drink, and we saw that as an admission, now she says, I do want to drink. So we see that really, Galya daita de machmas bi suso hu da amra. And so now it's clear that the reason she said, I didn't want to drink, now she said, I did want to drink, is that even though she appeared very matter of fact, she in fact had some kind of inner turmoil, and she was undecided. And so therefore, would we now let her drink? Do we look at the admission and say basically that it's shavia nafshi chaticha di sura, that she made herself asr and she's now going to continue to be asr, or do we allow her to reverse position and we let her drink? The Gemara answers teku. The halacha is teku. The Rambam paskins that in fact we do not allow her to drink, but the poskim talk about whether that is because they determine the answer to the inquiry, or that's simply how we paskin misafik. Because if it's a safik, we don't let her drink. Because remember that if she's not supposed to drink, the waters don't do the trick. So if you let her drink, you could lead her to become mutter to her husband, because they're going to assume that the waters were doing their work. She's going to be mutter to her husband. But really, meanwhile, the reason it didn't work is because she wasn't mechuyev, even though because she was shavei nafshi chaticha disura. So it seems that many hold that the Rambam's passing that me safek, not because necessarily the inquiry was resolved. Okay, brand new halacha. Amar Avu de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, said, "Tzarech sheyiten mar letoch mayim." You need to actually put, when you give the woman these waters, the mesota, you have to put something bitter inside. My taima, what's the reason? The Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, "May hamarim," waters that are bitter, "shemarim kvar," that are already bitter. What's the Gemara talking about here? Because what they're commenting on is that earlier in the parsha of Sota, it refers to Mei Marim, I think in Pasuk Yud Ches, maybe something like that. It refers to Mei HaMarim, right? And so then the question is, the waters have not yet had the scroll dissolved in it. So if the scroll is dissolved, you could say the reason they're called Mei Marim, bitter waters, is because they have the klalos, they have the alos, the curses in them, and that's what makes them bitter. But you see, they're referred to as Mei Marim, as bitter waters, before the scroll is even put in. So it's just plain water from the kior. So what makes it bitter at that point? So the Gemara is learning from there that it must be that they put in a bitter agent. They put in something that makes the water very bitter. Mefarshim discuss why they would do that. Okay. So that completes that. The Mishnah continues. Now we're going to learn a halacha, which is basically an underlying premise of what we learned yesterday, which is the idea that if, I'll just say it outside and then we'll see it inside, that if she admits that she was metame, that she was mezana on her husband, that she had been together with this man inappropriately, then no matter when she does it, it stops the drinking process. It could be the scrolls dissolved, everything, she's about to feed it to her. If she says, I admit, then we stop the process and we're going to see what happens with the water and etc. Whereas if she says, Eini shosa, that I don't want to drink, although we generally see that as pretty much equivalent to an admission, but there's a distinction, as we learned, there's a distinction whether it's before or after the scroll is dissolved. If it's before the scroll is dissolved, we allow her, even without admitting, just by saying, I don't want to drink, we allow her to not drink. And if it's after the scroll is dissolved, then we force her to drink. So that's what we're going to see in this Mishnah. So the Mishnah goes, Ad shelo nimchaka ha-megillah amra eini shosa. If the Megillah has not yet been dissolved in the water, and she says, eini shosa, I don't want to drink. So she doesn't say outright, I am tamei. She just says, I don't want to drink. So, but we already know that we don't force her to drink at that point. So then, Megillasa nignezes, the Megillah itself, because they already wrote the Megillah, they just hadn't dissolved it yet. So what do they do with the Megillah? They put it into Shemus. A lot of interesting things in the Mefarshim that they learn from here on Hilchos Shemus. But in any event, they take the Megillah and put it in Shemus. Uminchasa mispazeres al adeshen. And so what do you do with her carbon mincha? Because remember, everything was ready. They were about to administer it. So what do you do with the mincha? You spread it out, and Rashi says spread it out is just another word for burn it. You burn it on the deshen. And Rashi describes there was three places where they used to burn. In this case, because generally speaking, in the case the Mishnah is dealing with, it already was in a kli shares. Once the mincha is in a kli shares, it has to stay within the environs of the kodesh, and therefore there used to be a deshen near the mizbeach, and that's what they would do with the carbon mincha. Ve'ein megilasa ksheir lahashkos basot acheres. So even though we have this Megillah that's already written, and it has the Psukim written, so you might think, rather than stick it in Shemus, maybe we'll use it for the next Soto comes along. And the Mishnah says, sorry, you can't do that because it's written, it's saying that you should do for her this process, and we say her is specific to her, and therefore you can't use the Megillah for someone else, and instead it goes into Shemus. Okay, so that's case number one, where the Megillah had not been dissolved, and she said, I don't want to drink. Now we're going to do Nimchaka HaMegillah, that you've already dissolved the scroll in the water. V'amra Tumeya Ani. And she says, I'm Tumei. So this is not where she says, I don't want to drink. She says, I'm Tumei. I actually acted inappropriately with this man, and I don't want to drink the water. Instead, she'll take the divorce without the Ksuba. So what happens then? So now we're talking about a case where the scroll's already been dissolved in the water. So we have the water to deal with. What do you do with it? So the Gemara says, Hamayim Nishpachim, the water is thrown out. Now, there's machlokas in the Rishonim, I believe, about what does this mean, Mayim Nishpachim? The question is, does the water have Kedusha or not? Because it has these psukim dissolved in it. It's a machlokas Rishonim. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, for example, can you use it legavel tit? To use it to mix cement. In other words, does this water have any kedusha or not? Is the fact that you could spill it out indicative of the fact that it has no kedusha, or that's just what you do with it when you have something that has kedusha but now has no use because she's not going to drink the meisota? In any event, so you spill out the water, u'minchasa mispazeres al beis hadeshen, and again, you take the carbon mincha and you burn it on the beis hadeshen. Fine, so that's the second case. We dealt with the case where the Megillah had not been dissolved and she said, I don't want to drink. We dealt with them where the Megillah was dissolved and she said, I'm Tameh. Now we deal with the case, Nimchaka Megillah, the Megillah's already been dissolved. Va'amra Eini Shosa, and she says, I don't want to drink. This is the case where we talked about Ma'arin Osa, that Umashkin Osa Balkarcha, that we force her to drink it, because once the Shem Hashem has been Nimchak, so then we make her drink it. And of course, if she wants to prevent drinking it, she could always say Tamei Ani, but she can't get away with saying Eini Shosa, that I'm not going to drink. Okay, so now the Mishnah shifts a little bit to talk about what happens once she drinks the water. So the Mishnah describes that fairly quickly things start to happen. Eina maspekas lishtos, she hardly finishes drinking, acha paneha marikos, until her face turns color, like a yellowish color. Ve'ineha boltos, and her eyes are popping out. Ve'hi mismales gidin, You see that her body becomes like covered in veins, and the Mefarshim say because her face or her body swells up, and so the veins stand out. So you see she starts to basically pop. Vehem Omrim, and they say to her, they say, because remember, she's standing by Shar Niknor, Hotsiua, take her out, Shalot Tamei HaAzara, so that the Azara shouldn't become Tamei. Okay, so that's the second part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah now transitions to a third point, and we're gonna analyze all of this in the Gemara. The Gemara now says, and this was something we encountered on Daf Vav or so, this past thing is something we encountered on Daf Vav as well, which is the question of, you know, when does this start to work? But in any event, on Daf Vav, we talked about this question, the idea that if the woman has zechusim, then even though she should be usher to her husband and she should be tameh, then it might take some amount of time till it works. And there was the question as, does she have a gradual decline or is she fine until it's delayed? So this is the Mishnah that Gemara was referring to. Im yesh lo zchus, if she has a zchus, haisa toila lo, it would extend, it would give her a grace period, that there was a period of time that she wouldn't die. Yesh zchus tola shana achas, yesh zchus tola beishanim, yesh zchus tola gimel shaman. Depending on how strong her merits were, her zchusim, it could last 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. That's what the Mishnah says. It's funny, I was thinking that, but I guess they don't know. Yes, they don't. Well, it would depend a little bit on this machlokas. If she starts to decline, meaning you start seeing it, so presumably they would see, oh, she started to get sick as soon as she drank it, so she must be tummy to her husband. And then over the course of 3 years, she dies. But if it's really where you don't know, I guess they wouldn't know. I don't know.
In the first place, then.
I'm sorry?
Then how does one know in the first place whether she's innocent or guilty?
So I'm saying, I guess they wouldn't know. I don't know. In other words, if you learn that they start to see decline, then I assume she would become tummy for that. I don't know the answer. I guess they have no way of knowing. I don't know. And we're going to see, Rabbi Shimon is the opinion, and we encountered it before, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that we don't have this, that it's not Tola, and perhaps that's part of the reason. So in any event, now the Mishnah goes, now I'll tell you that maybe Rabbi Silber had enough of the RCA issues, and he disappeared today. He said, I'm going to leave you the women's issues to talk about. But I'm happy to report that there's more issues over the next 2 days, and you can feel free to ask him anything you like. In any event, so Mikan Amar Ben Azai said from this, Chayav Adam Lilmud es Bitoy Torah, that a person has to teach his daughter Torah Shem Tishta Teda Shaz Chus Tololo, so that if she drinks, she should know that the Chus is Tola. So what is he saying? He's saying, this is the following question. Generally speaking, the Mefarshim, the Rishonim learned that you do have to teach, and this is how it's Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, you have to teach your daughter halachas that are relevant to her. The question, and the machlokas here that they're talking about is, do you teach theoretical halachas? Do you teach general hashkafas from the Torah? What do you teach your daughter? Many machloksim about this, whether we're talking about Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, whether we're talking about whether she learns it herself or she's taught it, all sorts of questions that come up. But in any event, Ben Azai is saying, why is it important that you teach your daughter Torah? Because he doesn't want it to be that she minimizes or thinks the Torah is not true. So remember, there's only one person, I guess two, but there's only one person, one actor in this process who knows whether she was actually inappropriate with this man. The man's not here, so it's just her. Right, so she knows whether she acted wrongly or rightly. So the question is, let's say she acted wrongly, and she drinks the water, and then nothing happens to her. So she's going to say to herself, this whole thing is bogus, because I know that I was with him, and theoretically the water should have made me die, and it didn't. So she'll lose faith in the Torah. So he's saying, since maybe the reason it didn't blow up is because she has chusim. So it's important that she know that the Torah realizes this and says sometimes a person who's actually tameh won't blow up because she has chusim. So Ben Azai says, for that reason, it's important that you teach your daughter general halachas, general Torah, even things that aren't relevant to her daily life. Rabbi Lezer says, kol amlamed bita Torah, lomda tiflis. Whoever teaches his daughter, teaches her tiflis. Tiflis means like something connected or coming together, but basically it means some form of being together with a man. However you understand the phrase, he doesn't like it. We're gonna see a little bit more about this. Generally speaking, the Rambam Paskins like this latter view, and that's part of what comes up in this entire question when people talk about women learning. Again, beyond our scope for today. But in any event, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rotze ish bekav v'tiflus mites kabin uprishos. Rabbi Yeshua says a halacha which we're going to see in the Gemara, but roughly, not today, we'll see it tomorrow, but I think roughly speaking, it's understood that a woman would take less material sustenance and to have an intimate relationship, and this could be in the context of her husband, mites kabin uprishos, that she could have much more money or food or things, but if she's lacking someone with whom to be intimate, that she would prefer to take less and have that intimacy than more without. We'll see that in the Gemara. Hu haya amar, Rabbi Yeshua also used to say, Chasid shota v'rasha aram v'isha prusha makas prushin harelum v'alei olam, that these four things are cause the world to be worn out or in some fashion diminished or destroyed. What are these things? I'll tell you two, because they have one answer, and the others, the Gemara has many, many answers, so we won't get into them. A chassid shote, chassid sote, the example of this is someone who acts like a chassid, but he's really a shote. For example, you see a woman drowning in the water, and he says, I can't touch a woman, so therefore he lets her die. That would be an example of a chassid shote. Rasha Arum, the Gemara will give us a bunch of things. Isha Prusha as well, it will give us different answers. Makas Prushin is a very interesting one. Rashi describes it here, and the Gemara describes it in more detail on Tuesday, we'll have it, which is the idea that the guy acts like a chassid, he doesn't want to look at women, so he closes his eyes, and he bangs into walls, and he starts bleeding. So they didn't think too much of that. So those people are mevalei olam. They in some fashion diminish or destroy the world. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Kishayisi Lomad Torah Eitzel Rabbi Akiva. When I used to learn Torah by Rabbi Akiva, Hayisi Mato Kankantom L'Toich Hadio. I used to put Kankantom into the ink. If you remember, we had this on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, but it talked a little bit about the materials you could write the scroll for Sota on, and then it talked about the ink. I think Kankantom, people say, is like ferrous sulfate or something like that, but it's something that basically gives permanence to the ink. So he says that I used to put this stuff into my ink when I was writing a Sefer Torah. V'lo amar li davar, and Rabbi Akiva didn't used to say anything to me, meaning he was okay with it. Kishabasi ate to Rabbi Shmuel, when I came to Rabbi Shmuel, amar lei, so he walked into Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel said, amar lei, b'ni, my son, ma malachtecha, what's your work? What do you do for a living? Amarti lo, I said to him, lavlar ani, I'm a scribe, I'm a sofer. Amar li, b'ni, he said, my son, havi zahir, be very careful, shemalachtecha melecha shemayim, that the work you do as a sofer is melecha shemayim, is holy work. Shema tachzir os echas, otatir os echas, that maybe if you miss a letter or you add a letter inappropriately, nimtzas atam machrev es kol ha'olam kulo, you could destroy the entire world. So Rashi gives examples of this. He says, for example, the pasuk says, Hashem, it says Vashem Elokim Emes, a pasuk in Yirmiyah. He says if you forget to write the Aleph, it'll say Hashem Elokim Mace, that Hashem our God died. He says alternatively, you could have Bereshis Bara Elokim. If you add a Vav, Bara'u Elokim, that Bereshis Bara'u Elokim, that the gods created, it makes it sound like they're multiple gods. So he says if you're not careful, even one letter added or diminished could really destroy the world. So Amarti lo, and the Gemara is going to ask, what kind of answer is this? So he said back to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said, be very careful. He said, Davar echad yeshli, I have one thing, shani matil atoch adio, I have something that I put into the ink, v'kankantam shmo, and it's kankantam. Omar li, he said, v'chimetilin kankantam atoch adio, can you put kankantam into the ink? HaTorah amra, the Torah says, umacha, it says, by the case of sota, it says that it gets dissolved. Ksav sheyucho limchos, that it has to be a ksav in the Sefer Torah that's capable of being erased. And Rashi explains that this, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, and we're going to see this in more detail, that you can use a Sefer Torah, an actual Sefer Torah, you could take the parsha from the Sefer Torah and use that to put it in the water. But in any event, that was the story. So we see that when he was by Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva didn't mind if he used kankantom. And when he came to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel didn't like it. I'm sorry?
Doesn't have to be
Lishma? We're going to see that very soon. Excellent. Okay, fine. So So the Gemara first wants to understand the story. They don't understand the back and forth. Rabbi Shmuel said, be very careful about letters. And he answers, I have kankantum. So the Gemara is like, what's going on here? Maika amrle, maika amahadrle. What did he say to him? What did he answer? So he said, hachi kamrle. This is what happened. He said that he responded to him, you're telling me to be very careful with the letters. Lo mi ba'i b'chaseris v'yaseris debaki ana, not only with... I am very careful, like you suggested, not to add or to skip anything, and I'm a bucky in that. But Ella afilu mechlish lezvuv. I'm so careful that I'm even careful that a fly shouldn't mess up what we have in the Sefer Torah. Why? The Dilma asi v'yasev atage de dalid umachik le umashri le resh. That he says because I'm worried that maybe. Then maybe I'm going to write a dalet, and again, the difference between a dalet and a resh, the resh is curved, and the dalet has that little thing on the upper right corner. So he says, maybe I'm going to write a dalet, and the fly's going to come and land on it, and it's going to erase it a little bit, and then it's going to look like a resh. And Rashi says, well, what would be an example where that's a big problem? For example, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Acher. Instead of saying Hashem Echad, it would say Hashem Acher. So that's an example where losing that little tag on the top of the dalet could be a big deal. So he was telling him, not only am I careful not to add or things, I use permanent ink so that even if a fly lands on it, you'll be able to tell that I had put a tag there. I have something that I put in the ink for Kankantum Shemo, and its name is Kankantum. Okay, so now the Gemara has a problem with this story because it says, Eini, is this story really true? Or is it accurate? Vahatanya, but we learned. Amar Rabbi Meir said, "Kishayisi lamate Torah etzar Rabbi Shmuel." When I used to learn Torah by Rabbi Shmuel, "Hayisi mato kankantum l'toychadiyo v'loy amarli davar." I used to put kankantum in the ink, and Rabbi Shmuel didn't say anything to me. Kishabasi etzar Rabbi Akiva. When I came to Rabbi Akiva, asra alai, he said, "You can't use kankantum in your ink." So the Gemara has two problems: kasha shimush ashimush, kasha asra asra. So. So first of all, they have a question about who was his Rebbe first. Both of these were stories of the Rebbe Meir. Did he learn by Rebbe Akiva and then Rebbe Shmuel, or did he learn by Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe Akiva? Because the stories are different. And also, in the first case, he said that Rebbe Akiva was fine with me using kankantum, and Rebbe Shmuel told me not to. In the second story, he says Rebbe Shmuel was fine with me using kankantum, and Rebbe Akiva told me not to. So we have a stira on both points, both in the order that he learned, and can you use kankantum? So the Gemara says, Bishlam Hashimush Hashimush Lai Kasha. The answer of who he learned by is not such a big Kasha. Why? Because he went back and forth. Meikara Asa L'Kameh De Rabbi Akiva. In the beginning, he was learning by Rabbi Akiva. Kivan De L'Matzi Kam Alibe Asa L'Kameh De Rabbi Yishmol. Because he couldn't come Alibe, he went to Rabbi Shmuel. Rashi explains, what does this mean? I guess Rabbi Akiva was the first brisker. So he said he would learn by him, and he would tell him, Tameh, he could say, I'll tell you Svara why it's Tahar. And he'd tell him Tahar, he'd say Svara why it's Tameh. He just got confused at some point. Everything was giving him reasons, but he didn't have any halachas. So he said that he couldn't learn by Rabbi Akiva. So he went to Rabbi Shmuel. What did he do? V'gamar Gemara. And he learned the Gemara, which Rashi says, these were the psukim that were given, handed down, midar ledar, from Rebbe to Rebbe. And he went to Rebbe Shmuel and he learned the basic halachas. He didn't learn their explanations, he learned the halachas. Then, hadar asal kameh de Rebbe Akiva, savar svara. And then he went to Rebbe Akiva and he learned the svara, he learned how to take those halachas and do something. So basically, he had gone to Rebbe Akiva too early because he didn't know the clear psak, and so Rebbe Akiva just confused him. So he went and learned the psak from Rabbi Shmuel, then he went back to Rabbi Akiva. It's worth taking a moment to look at Rashi. Rashi describes how they used to learn in the times of the Gemara. He says, so it's the bottom, Rashi, Hadar asa l'kameh de Rabbi Akiva l'mizbar svara. He says, Lamad al ikar tamei mishnah, in order to learn the primary reasons of the mishnah. I mean, p'nei mazet tamei v'zet tar. Why is this tamei and this tar? Zel asar v'zet mutter. This allowed and this not allowed. What we base our halachas on, and which pasuk do we learn this halacha from? This was the Talmud. This is what it used to be like in the Tanayim. This is what they would argue about. How do we know all these things? To understand one thing from another, and all of that. Why? When there would be something new, there would be something new asked in the Beis Medrash. Mehechan yomaduhu, they would want to figure out where was it learned from, le'ezem mishnah yedamuhu, and to what should we compare it. So this is basically the idea of psak, that you need to figure out, you need to take, you need to extract from halachas the underlying premises and principles, and that way when new things come along, you know how to apply it. So that's like How do we know the halachas of electricity? There was no electricity in those times, but because we took the principles out, we're able to make psak. So in any event, the Gemara has now answered, did he learn by Rabbi Shmuel first or Rabbi Akiva? The answer was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. So that part is answered. So the Gemara says, Ba'ela Asra, Asra Kasha, but we're still left with our problem that in one case we said that Rabbi Akiva was fine with Kankantum and Rabbi Shmuel was not. In the other case we said Rabbi Shmuel was fine with Kankantum and Rabbi Akiva was not. So the Gemara says, Kasha. It's a good Kasha. We don't know the answer. Some people say that the reason, and Kasha normally means that you can still, there is an answer, it's just a little bit schwer. So they say perhaps because it was reported in the name of Reb Meir, it wasn't Reb Meir directly, is one of the answers they say. There's also, others explain that there's a machlokas as to what was kankantum. Some understand it, like Rashi understands it to be a dye, it was something that was a color. Other Rishonim understand it to be like a kind of dirt or something that gave this permanence. And so they say, since it's possible that one of them, both are called kankantum, it's possible that one of them was saying that kankantum is bad and the other was saying the other kankantum is bad, and they argued about it, but they were ostensibly talking about different things. Okay, now we kind of alluded to this before, the question of can you use a Sefer Torah as the Megillah that you're machak when you have her drink the Meisota. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hayyar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say, L'chol matilin kankantum utelcha dio. For everything you could put kankantum into the ink, turn to Chafam Beis, chutz mi parsha sota bovad. That except, so when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you could use the permanent ink with kankantum, except for the parsha sota, because that you need to do with ink that can be dissolved. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Mishmo says in the name of Rabbi Meir, so they're arguing about what Rabbi Meir held, chutz mi parsha sota sal migdash. No, a Sefer Torah can be written entirely with permanent ink. When does it say umacha? It's only talking about the scrolls that they would dissolve in the base of Mikdash when they did this. The ones that were written specifically for this, not a Sefer Torah. My benaya, what's the difference between them? Meaning, what's the source of their machlokas? The difference, the reason they argue is because the question, can you use the Parsha Sota from a Sefer Torah in order to do it? So the first opinion says that you can, and therefore you need to be careful that when you write the Parsha Sota in the Sefer Torah, you do it with ink that could be dissolved. The second opinion of Reb Meir says that no, that you're not allowed to use a Sefer Torah for Sota, so therefore you may as well use permanent ink in the entire Sefer Torah. Okay, so that's the machlokas. Now the Gemara says, "Ahani tanoi ki hani tanoi." Maybe I'll tell you that this machlokas tanaim that we just learned about whether you could use a Sefer Torah or not is implicated in another machlokas tanaim. The Sanya, because we learned ein megilasok sheir lahashkas basota acheres. We learned actually the same halacha in our Mishnah that you cannot if you didn't use the Megillah for one sota, you can't use it for another. Rabbi Achi bar Yoshi amar megilasok sheir lahashkas basota acheres, that you can use it to give it to another woman who has to drink meisota. So the question is, why is this so that the machlokas is relevant? Because if you say that a scroll needs to be written lishma, you wouldn't be able to use a Sefer Torah, because a Sefer Torah is not written lishma for a woman to use it for sota. On the other hand, if you don't need lishma, you can use a Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Torah already has the Parsha Sota written, and you may as well use it if you want to put it in the water. So they're saying that the same underlying issue is what creates the machlokas in both of these cases. So we're going to bring two reasons why, as Rashi explains, they're not arguing with each other, but rather two reasons to say, I could tell you both agree this way or both agree that way. These machloksim are separate. Amar Papa Dilmalohi. Maybe these aren't implicated one in another. Ad kan lo kamar Tanakamo Hasam. We did the Tanakamo over there. Didn't say that you can't use it for someone else. Elo kiven the intak l'shum Rachel lo hadra mintak l'shum Leah. Because once you made it for Rachel, then you can't use it for Leah, because if you wrote it for Rachel, it's only for Rachel. Avo toro de stomach siva hachanami de machkinan. But he's saying, but maybe even the one who says you can't use the scroll made for one woman for another because it's designated for Rachel, not for Leah, maybe he would agree you could still use a Sefer Torah. Why? Because the Sefer Torah is not written for anyone in particular. So he's saying it's not that it needs per se to be lishma, but if it was written lishma, then you can't use it. But a Sefer Torah was not written lishma, so therefore maybe they would both agree. Both of these, the Tanakhama and Rav Achi Bar Yosha would both agree that you can use the Sefer Torah. Alternatively, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Dimalohi, maybe it's the other way around that they both agree you can't use a Sefer Torah. Ad kan lo kamar Rav Achi bar Yoshio Hasam. When did Rav Achi bar Yoshio say you can't use the scroll from one to another? Elav Megillah the Ichtav Lashum Alas Ba'olam. In other words, he may not require that it be written Lishma for a particular woman, but he requires that it be written for the purpose of Soto. At the minimum, it has to be written for the purpose of Soto. Avo Torah de Islamic Ksiva, but a Torah, a Sefer Torah that's written in order to learn from it, that's not written L'shem Me Soto. So Achinami de la Mechikina, maybe he would agree that you can't be Mochik in that case. So therefore, there's no raya that the same underlying premise is between these two machlokas tanayim, because in the second machlokas, maybe they both hold that you can use a Sefer Torah, and maybe they both hold you can't use a Sefer Torah, so they're entirely separate machloksim. Okay, the Gemara continues. Rav Achi bar Yoshio Lesley, are you telling me that Rav Achi bar Yoshio doesn't have this lima that we're about to learn? Because remember, Rav Achi bar Yoshio is the one who said that if something is written for one sota, you could use it for another sota. So he says, what about this that we learned by get? It says, Kasav l'garish ishto, if someone writes a get in order to divorce his wife, and Nimloch, and he changes his mind, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to divorce her, but he already wrote the get, because he was going to give it to her. Matzah ben Iro, someone who comes from the same city as him, finds him, v'amr lo, and he says, you know what, I don't like my wife too much. Shmi kishimcha, my name is like your name, Hashem ishti kishem ishticha, and my wife's name is like your wife's name. So let me just take your get, and I'll give it to my wife. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Pasul l'garish bo, he can't use it to divorce her. So why, if we see by get where it says a kus of law, you write it for her, and here by sota it's written asa law, you make it for her, so we should learn the same lima. Just like by get, you can't use a get written for one woman for the other, so too by sota, you should not be able to use the Megillah that's written by one woman for another woman. So the Gemara says, Amri hasam a kus of law. A kus of law, Amar Rachmana. By get, it's written that you should write it for her, but inan ksiva lishma, needs to be written lishma. So the Gemara says, I'm not impressed with that. Hachinami v'asa law. Here by sota, it's written v'asa law, just like v'kasav law. So you should say the same thing, that it can't be used one for the other. So the Gemara says, no, because the words ksiva and asi and kasav and asa are very different. My asiya, what does it mean when it has to be done for her? Mechika, that it has to be dissolved for her, which means at the time you dissolve the scroll in the water, it has to be for the particular woman who's going to drink it. But it's whereas by get, the key factor is the kasav law, you write it for her. So if you wrote it for one woman, you can't use it for a different woman. So Rav Achi bar Yoshio is able to explain why by get you can't use one woman's get for another woman, and by sota, according to Rav Achi bar Yoshio, you can. Okay, two dots. Enim aspekas lishos ad shepaneho. So it says that as soon as she finished drinking, her face started to turn yellow and her eyes were bulging out. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's this in the Mishnah? Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon. D'amar makrives menchosav achakach mashke. So we just learned this machlok, because we talked about it at the beginning of this year. Again, Reb Shimon argued in the Mishnah with the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon said that you first do the mincha and then you drink, whereas the Tanakhama said you drink and then you do the mincha. So this Mishnah has to be going like the opinion that you first bring the mincha. Why? Because if immediately, as soon as she starts to drink, or as soon as she finishes drinking, she starts to blow up, if she didn't bring the carbon mincha yet, she's not going to blow up yet. So it must be according to the opinion that you bring the carbon mincha first. The kama de la carbon mincha sa la batki la maya. Because so long as the mincha hasn't been brought, the waters aren't going to do their job. Dechsiv, because it's written, mincha zikaron maskeres avon. It's saying that the mincha is one of remembrance, maskeres avon, that it reminds of the sin. Basically saying that the mincha is part of this process of determining is the woman tamei to her husband or not. So the Mishnah that says she starts to blow up immediately only works according to the one who says that you already took care of the carbon mincha by the time you drink. If you drink and then take care of the carbon mincha, it wouldn't work. So what are we saying? We're saying that our Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon, who says that you have to first bring the carbon mincha. The Gemara has a problem with that. Eima seifa, I'll tell you the seifa. Yesh lo zchus, and if she has a zchus, ha'is a tolabo. So this same Mishnah, our Mishnah, describes this idea that if she has a zchus, it delays her punishment. So we say, I'm sorry, Asil Rabbanan. That goes according to Rabbanan. You can't say that that's Rabbi Shimon. If it's Rabbi Shimon, ha amar ein zchus tola b'mayim amarim. He says there is no zchus tola. So you were trying to say it's Rabbi Shimon because you see that she starts to blow up as soon as she drinks, which means she had brought already the carbon mincha. But you can't say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, because the end of the Mishnah talks about
delaying her punishment, and Reb Shimon says there's no delay. So the Gemara says, "I'm Reb Chista, Hamani Reb Akiva he." Because if you remember, even though our Mishnah, the prior Mishnah only had the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, we learned the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva also held that you only drink the mechatas after the Karban Mincha. The Amar, because Rabbi Akiva also says, the Amar makrives minchas of achar kach mashke, that first you do the mincha and then you drink. And therefore, she could drink right away. And Rabbi Akiva, you don't have the problem when you say the Mishnah is like him, because he agrees with the Rabbanan that you can be tola zchus. And therefore, the Mishnah is consistent as long as you put it in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. It can't be Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon says there's no tola of zchus, and it can't be like the Tanakama because this Mishnah is clearly going according to the person who says at the time she drinks, the Karban Mincha has already been completed. Okay, we'll do this quickly. It's fairly easy, though. V'heim amrim hotziyuha. They said, remember in the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as she started to blow up, they were like, get her out of here because we're going to cause Tumah. So my timer, what's the reason that we wanted to get her out? The Dilma Mesa, maybe she's going to die. So the Gemara says, well, why are we worried about that? L'meimra, the Mesa, Aser B'machna Leviya? Are you saying that a Mesa is Aser B'machna Leviya? What's the reference to Machna Leviya? In the Beis HaMikdash, we've learned this a number of times. This is similar to the Mishkan. The Mishkan had the Heichal. It had the Heichal and the courtyard, the Chatzar in the Mishkan. That was called Machna Shechina. Then around it you had where the Levium lived. That was called Machna Leviya. And then around it you had where all of Klal Yisrael lived. That was Machna Yisrael. So in the Beis HaMikdash they had a similar thing, that the Heichal and the Azara is called the Machna Shechina. Then outside of that, the rest of Har Bayis is called Machna Leviya. And then the rest of Yerushalayim is called Machna Yisrael. So the question here is as follows, that where were they doing the Mesota? Remember, this was by Shar Niknor, which was by the Ezros Nashim. Now, the Ezros Nashim is not part of Machna Shechina, it's not in the Azara, so therefore it has the same status as Machna Leviya. So are you telling me we're worried about having a dead person in Machna Leviya? Vahatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Tamei Meis, someone who's Tamei Tameis, Mutterli Kanes Machna Leviya, can come into Machna Leviya. The Lord Tamei Meis Bovah, not only someone who has the Tumah of Tumas Meis, but the Lord Tamei Meis Bilvad Amru, Elafilu Meis Atzmo. You could even bring a dead body into the Machna Leviya. How do we know? Shenemar, because it says, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef Imo. Then this is, we spent a long time talking previously about Moshe Rabbeinu taking the bones of Yosef HaTzadik from Mitzrayim, and it says he took him with him, Imo b'mechitzaso, in his mechitza. So you see that he brought a dead body into Machna Leviya. So why are you saying you have to get this woman out of there quickly before she dies? Who cares if she dies? You're allowed to have dead people in the Machna Leviya. Amar Abaya, you're right. We weren't worried about Tamei Meis. Shema Tifras Nida. We were worried that maybe she would become a Nida. Why? Because she's going to get scared about drinking the Mei Marim, and she'll become a Nida, and a Nida is not allowed to be a Machna Leviya. That halacha we know from the Gemara Pesachim. So the Gemara says, but I have a problem with this. You're worried that she's going to get scared and immediately become a Nida. So Lemeimra de Asusa Marpi, are you telling me that when someone gets afraid, it causes her to become a Nida, that the blood flows? Is that so? He says, yes. Why? Because it's written, this was going by Esther. When she heard that Mordechai was out there and she heard what was going on and he was in Sakva Efer, she became very afraid. And Rav says, she became a Nida. So you see, in fact, that's how it works. When someone gets a shock of fear, they in fact become a Nida. But the Gemara says, but we learned in a Mishnah, Charada Misalekas Damim, that fear, on the contrary, doesn't cause the blood to flow, it causes the blood to be stopped up. What's the practical ramification of this? Is that we know that if a woman is expecting she has onas haves, she's expecting it's the day she would normally see dam. If she does a bedika and there's no dam, then it's okay. But if she misses her bedika, she can't do it because we said that we have a chazaka orich bezmano ba, that a guest comes in the right time. So normally she would have gotten her period. And if she didn't check, we assume that really it came. All right, so that's the halacha. But the halacha tells us that if she's somewhere where she's afraid for her life, she's hiding out, even if she missed doing the bedika, we don't assume arich bezmano ba. Why? Because when a woman is in fear, she's living in fear, she doesn't become a nida. So we're saying that a woman gets afraid, she becomes a nida. We're saying we see a halacha lemaisa by a bedika with a nida that it's the opposite, that she doesn't, that fear stops someone from getting dam. So the Gemara says there's a difference. Pachta tzamis beisusa marpe. If she's in a constant state of fear, like someone who's hiding out from robbers, then in fact it stops it up. By susa marpe. But if she has a sudden sense of fear, then in fact it causes it to flow. Give it 2 minutes. We'll finish this daf. It's quick. I'm sorry. What is that? Oh, I have time? Okay. Fine. I'm not going to take 10 minutes. Don't worry. Okay. Yeshla zchus. So this is talking about the zchus is tola. So the Gemara wants to know. So our Mishnah basically told us that you could get, that the zchus could be tola for up to 3 years. Because we said 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. So the Gemara says, money mas nisen. I have a problem. Who is this Mishnah like? Loi Abba Yossi ben Chanan. It's not like Abba Yossi ben Chanan. V'lo Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov ish Kfar Dorom. It's not like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov from Kfar Dorom. V'lo Rabbi Shmuel. It's not like Rabbi Shmuel. So we have three opinions, and none of them fit this one. None of them say 3 years. Why? Desanya, because we learned in Ebraisa, im yesh lo zchus tola lo shlosha chadashim. That if she has a zchus, it delays her punishment for 3 months. Kedei hakaras ha'uber. To the point that it would become recognizable that she is pregnant. Why is that a relevant? Why is that a relevant measure? Excuse me. Because the pasuk says v'niksa v'nizra zera. So it's saying when a woman, it's really talking. It's not talking about this case, but it's talking about when a woman drinks the mei marim and she's in fact tahar. So it says v'nikisa that she'll be clean from this v'nizra zera and she'll have children. That's in fact what we say is that a woman who was tested wrongly, and she was tar, that she'll have children. This was the story, famous story with Chana, had this discussion with Rabbanu Shalom. She said, if you don't give me children, I'm going to go do sota, so then I'll get the bracha of a nizra zera. But in any event, so you see that when it says that when she's cleared, v'nizra zera, she'll have children. So we're understanding that pasuk to also apply to this case as zchus. So he says, v'nikisa she'll be clean, v'nizra zera, and she'll have seed. And so according to Abba Yossi ben Chanan, what does that mean? What period of time is that? That's 3 months till you see that she has seed, that she has zera. Divrei Abba Yossi ben Chanan. These are the words of Abba Yossi ben Chanan. Rabbi Lazar ben Yitzhak ish kvar darim omer tes chadashim. It's 9 months. Shenemar, because it says this same pasuk, v'niksa v'nizra zera, that and therefore it shall be clear and she'll have zera. Ulahalan hu omer, and later it says, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, zera yavdenu yusuper ladonoi lador. So what is that pasuk talking about? The Gemara is going to read it a little different, but it says, zera yavdenu, that the zera, the seed that have served you, which is a reference to the Rabbanu Shalom, yusuper will be told, ladonoi, not the Shem Hashem, but to the master, Lidar, Ladar, until the last star. So it's saying that Klal Yisrael, the seed that serve you, meaning Klal Yisrael, will be told about the Rabbanu Shalom until the last star, that they'll always hear about the Maisim of the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. The way the Gemara is reading it is saying, instead of saying Yisupar, it will be told to them, it's read, Zera Yavdenu, the seed that served you, Yisaper Ladonoi Lidar, will talk about your master until the last generation. So what do you see? Zera Haroi Lisaper. It has to be a seed that is right to talk. What is seed that's right to talk? Is once a baby is born. He doesn't talk when he's born, but at least he's capable, Rashi says, of talking at some point. So therefore, you need seed, not that's recognizable in her stomach, but rather you need seed that can talk. That's 9 months. Rabbi Shmuel says, Shneimar Sakodesh, 12 months. V'yafa pishen raya ledavar, zeich ledavar. Even though there's not a raya to davar, and we're going to see tomorrow why it's not a raya ledavar, only a zeich ledavar, because we see from the pasuk in Daniel. So if you remember in Daniel, there's a dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, that there's this tall tree with nice fruits and branches and all these things, etc. And then he gets this dream that it should get chopped down. And Daniel tells him that tree is you, and you're going to get chopped down. And then Daniel gives him a little bit of advice. And he says, but if you want to save yourself, and Rashi explains that Daniel wasn't trying to help Nebuchadnezzar out here. He had a strategy here. He said, if you want to save yourself from this outcome, then what you should do is that you should take care of the aniyim. And if you take care of the aniyim, then you'll have a zchus. And you should do that. And in fact, we'll see inside the Gemara. The Pesukim tell you that Nebuchadnezzar did that. And Rashi describes that every day he used to gather all the Aniyei Yisrael and give them food. And that delayed him for 12 months from having his tree cut down, from being chopped down. So you see the idea that a zchus can be toila for 12 months. Why? Because the chsiv, because it's written after Nebuchadnezzar described his dream to Daniel. He says, who's called Belshazzar there, but he says, Lahen Malka, therefore, my king, Nebuchadnezzar, Milki Yishpar Aloch, my advice should be pleasing to you, V'chata'och, and your sins, B'tzidka Faruk, that with doing tzedakah Faruk should be, Rashi says, redeemed, Pada, V'avayasach, B'michan Anyan, and your sins with the chain to aniyim, chain to have a archa lishlevis sach. And this is all Daniel's written in Aramaic. He says that this would be extend your peaceful years. So basically, Daniel told him that if you're good to the aniyim, then you'll have peace for longer. Uksiv, and then it's written kolo meta on Nebuchadnezzar malko, that all of this eventually happened to Nebuchadnezzar the melech. Uksiv l'ksas yarchin treyasar, when did that happen? It says that after 12 months it happened to Nebuchadnezzar. So what did you see? There was a nevuah that he would get chopped down. Then Daniel told him, and by the way, Daniel got punished for this at some level for giving Nebuchadnezzar the extra year. But you see that for the next year, this was Daniel's strategy. He knew that the aniyim had no food. He got Nebuchadnezzar to take care of them. After a year, he then got chopped down. So what do you see? You see that zchus can be tola for 12 months. But in any event, the Gemara is left with his kasha. Our Mishnah says 3 years. We see 3 months, 9 months, and 1 year. We don't see 3 years. So the Gemara says, Liolam Rabbi Shmuel. Really, it's Rabbi Shmuel who says that zchus can be tola for 12 months. The Ashkach Kra, the Amar Vitani, because we find a pasuk that says this concept, Vitani, and repeats it. The Chsiv, this is a pasuk in Amos, that says, Ka Amar Hashem Ashlosha Pishei Edon. That he says, so said Hashem. Basically, the pasuk says, Ka Amar Hashem Ashlosha Pishei Adam Al Arba Lo Ashivenu. Hashem says, on three things, I'll overlook what you're doing. But the fourth, and I shouldn't answer, by the fourth time, the Rebbeinu Shalom had enough, and he's going to punish. Your zchus can't be tola anymore. So what do you see? You see that up to three times zchus can be tola. So therefore, if each time zchus is tola, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is 12 months, is 1 year, so three times is 3 years, and that's why the Mishnah says 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, depending whether you have one, two, or three zchusim, because each zchus could be tola for 12 months.